Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Many of us can become carers at any time in our lives. And we'll be talking to David Milt, CEO of Carers SA, about National Carers Week, how they really want to raise awareness so that carers know that there is support out there so that you can help your loved one, the person you're caring for, but also look after yourself. Welcome to the program, David. Really great to have you on this podcast for such an important topic about carers.
Thanks for having me on, Kerry. Really appreciate it.
And here we are with National Carers Week, 13th to 19th of October, 2024. But it sparked, David, the importance of the role in carer and came up a conversation I only had last night with someone who said they've become what I would call the accidental carer, mm-hmm. where their partner is seriously ill, potentially terminally ill. And they're not happy about this and they're taking it out on this person mm-hmm. and they're finding it very difficult because they're becoming defiant. And as I said, it's not the position they wanted to be in. And the person who's ill is resentful of their freedom to go out. And I said, you need to talk to somebody. You need to find someone who can give you some advice. And that is where, over to you, Carers SA can step in to help.
Look, we can. Firstly, probably that example is sad and unfortunate, but it is a great example of how people become carers. It just happens and people don't expect it. And our language is always anybody at any time can become a carer. And often you will become a carer at some stage in your life. So it's really representative, that example of what we see all the time. That example that what that person should be doing is great opportunities to call us at Carers SA and have a conversation with our staff about what avenues are out there for her, what difficulties like this have we seen before, and how can we connect her with the right places to give her some support. There's a whole range of support services we provide that might be able to fix or support her in little bits of those things, but we would pull together a range of different services to try and support her.
Because at the moment, she has no idea where to go to her to talk to. She just thinks, well, this is how it is, and I guess we'll just keep going and I'll try and manage.
It's the biggest issue. When you become a carer, you don't know what's out there because nobody expects it. Nobody anticipates it often. And so what we're all about and coming to speak to you today, Kerry, and National Carers Week is all about is raising awareness about what carers are, who they are, what they do, and how do they access services. So until a carer recognises that they're a carer, they're going to walk past a whole heap of support services that they see.
And there's that old adage about, you know, put your oxygen mask on first and then look after the other person. But people feel guilty because they're not the ones who need the care.
Absolutely. So we see all the time that carers, and we've just finished doing the 2024 National Carer Survey, which again just reinforces to us that carers' well-being and health is lower than any other person in the community. So carers naturally care for the person they're caring for and put their needs secondary or last, depending on how many people they're caring for.
And so, David, who is a carer? How do you define who is a carer?
We define a carer as being someone who is supporting and providing care, unpaid care, to a family member or friend. So it's a whole range of different things. It could be as simple as doing shopping, doing cleaning, doing cooking for someone, or it could go all the way to 24/7 care and personal care, showering, toileting, a range of different things. So everything from that really simple part to the end can be caring. Often it's about running people to appointments, managing doctors' appointments. It can be trying to get people into navigating the aged care system, mental health system, disability system, health system. All of those things make you a carer. But the stipulation is it's got to be unpaid. So you can't be. Often there's some real confusion between paid support workers. Lots of organisations, aged care, disability, call those people carers as well. We sort of steer clear of that language, and it's they're paid support workers. And so we concentrate on the people who are providing unpaid care and support to a family member or friend.
So, David, do I have this correct, though, that a family member can be paid by the government for caring for their family member?
So this is, again, another confusing part. So what we say is that you can get access to a carer payment or a carer allowance, two really important supports that the federal government do provide. And there's a number of concessions across state and federal government that a carer can provide, but you're actually not paid to do the actual work. And I've had lots of wonderful carers who keep pointing out to me that if they're on the carer payment and they are doing 24/7 care, I think it equates, someone keeps repeating to me, 4 cents an hour to be paid. So it really is an unpaid role. But people do think and get confused about, well, hang on, if I get a carer payment, am I still eligible for supports from Carers SA or other organisations that provide supports?
So what are the supports available through Carers SA?
Yeah, so we've got a range. Probably one of the immediate things are that it might be the example you're using before. If someone gets into an emergency situation, we can provide emergency respite to people within 48 hours. The extreme example of that that I use, because it hits home, is that we've had carers before ring us in the back of an ambulance on the way to hospital saying, I'm on my way to hospital, I'm not particularly well, and I've got someone at home who needs care. Can you do something to put some support in place? That's an extreme example, but normally emergency respite is anywhere within 48 hours of us receiving the call, and we're able to put paid support workers into the home to provide care that the unpaid carer would normally give.
So who pays for that?
I'd say we do, but we are funded by the federal government. So the carer gateway services that we provide, and also some state government services, provide that money and support. So all of the services that we provide are free of charge, which is a wonderful thing, and people don't, it's hard to fathom, I think, for people when they realise that, when they not pluck up the courage, but when they finally get to a point where they decide they need to reach out for help.
How is that conversation brokered with the person being cared for and the carer? Because that must be difficult, saying, don't you want to care for me? Why has it become, they don't want to be a burden to them?
Look, it's a really difficult conversation. It happens in the emergency respite situation, really simple, because it is literally, you don't have a choice. But when we start talking about some of the other support services we have, so we have, I call it ongoing respite. So you can plan over a 12-month period what support you might like so that the carer can do something that is extremely important, which is have a break. So for a carer to continue to care and to do that stuff, which is sometimes, well, all the time emotionally, often physically draining, the carer needs to have a break and do that. So talking about that situation with the person you're caring for, whether it be a family member or a friend, is really difficult. And we know of situations where family members say, well, I know you need a break, but I don't want anybody else coming in my house to look after me. And that's a really difficult, challenging situation that we hear quite a lot. So that happens a lot around the ongoing or planned support that we're able to provide. And then you start to look at counselling, coaching sessions, which are essentially a one-to-one support that we can help carers achieve their goal, whatever that might be, whether that be about getting back time for themselves or whether it be looking to navigate the health system or do other things. So yeah, some of those discussions can be really tricky, but we've got some great staff who are really experienced at helping the carer navigate some of that stuff.
I'm talking to David Milt, CEO of Carers SA. And David, this issue is only going to grow because there are changes coming to NDIS, aged care, you know, even people in retirement now who need extra care. The government don't want them in institutions or in organisations. They want them to stay in their home, and that can't be fully funded through the current system.
No, it can't. So Carers SA is part of a national carer network as well. So we try to insert carers in every big conversation that's happening. So you can't talk about the aged care changes, which, as you say, carry you're trying to keep people in home longer. You can't talk about that change in policy or programs without then saying, well, what happens to the person who's caring for that person as they're getting older and frail and struggling? So it is really important to consider the unpaid workforce. I'd say that's when we talk to government, we use that language because it makes sense. So it's really important to insert carers in all of those different conversations, because when the systems aren't working well, which, let's be realistic, they're not all working well at the moment, carer, the burden and the load moves on to carers. And so we often use language that carers are the safety net of the community, the carer gateway, but other supports that we provide through state government that are funded for young carers and also for breaks for carers, they become the last resort. So people come to us when they are at their lowest ebb and they can't get what they need in other systems and are really struggling.
And David, let's just look at NDIS, because of course we know that's all being reviewed and it's going to change. There'll only be less support because there have been issues with it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know with community centres is that we have anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter where you come from, what situation you're in, community centres work. Welcome all. Mm-hmm. That does sometimes mean that we run a range of programs that anyone can do, that sometimes community centres will have people come to utilise the services and their carer then feels, well, good, that means I can leave, but that person still needs support. A lot of the community centres are saying, how can we help with this? So I put that to you. Is there any advice there?
One of the things that we see often is that this is probably a message that comes from government, which is part of the challenge. So really early on through the NDIS development, it was that if you're able to provide a support for a person with a disability, in this case through the NDIS, that would allow a break for the carer and allows the carer to go off and do something. Now, that's not realistic and it doesn't work practically in those situations. So we'd be saying to the community centres that this is happening, we'd be saying, look, come and talk to us and see how we can actually work together to provide support for the carer. and how that might work and how we might be able to strategise around your program and how we might be able to provide support to both the person cared for and the carer. So what I see in other states and territories is a really joint approach to that type of activity where there is a service provider. So it might not be a community centre, but there might be some service providers that you can bring in that can provide some extra added support, but also then we can then talk to the carers as a care organisation. So I think there's a couple of different ways, but it involves a conversation between the organisations to go, how can we solve this?
And perhaps some training and advice, because they're really looking at how do we handle if the person starts exhibiting behaviours we don't know how to deal with.
That's the biggest issue when you don't, when you have a range of different people coming in to an activity or an event or to a location. It's about that personal knowledge about the person and their triggers, how they behave, what their behaviour looks like. And that's why carers are amazing at being partners in care when you start to think about and switch that to what happens when you go into the hospital system or you go and speak to a service provider. It's the carer that has the most knowledge about the person they're caring for. So they should be, we always say they should be a partner in care. And so that conversation, in that instance you're talking about, a really clear conversation with the carer to say, what are the triggers? What happens when this happens? And sometimes you've got to say, well, actually, that might not be appropriate for this activity, which can be difficult.
Well, it is when you've just got an open forum and people can come and sign up. So
absolutely. Yeah.
There's some more pre-questioning. Dave, the National Carer Strategy, where is that at?
It's about to hit the final consultation or final release, I guess, of the strategy from the federal government. So from my point of view, there hasn't been a National Carer Strategy for a number of years. I think it's the most important thing that's coming out for carers at a federal level for some time, since probably the start of the Carer Gateway in 2020. I've got my fingers crossed that government have heard the 1,000-odd people that they've spoken to and listened to over the last 3 months. My hope is that they have crystallised their needs and put them together and identified what are those key things carers really need to practically support them in their everyday life. And I hope that they identify those as being part of the strategy. So I'm pretty sure that the federal government got a great sample of information from carers. I was involved in 3 sessions in SA. I ran, along with Carers and Disability Link, a session in Kadena, a session in Nuriutpa, and then one in Hallett Cove, just with a group of veterans, carers of veterans and defence families.
Well, we, of course, see with our community centres that regional areas are being smashed because it's so resource-strapped. And the biggest issue is they may be providing activities, but there's no transport to get them there.
When we spoke to, when we went to Kadena and Nuriutpa, and look, Nuri is my hometown. It's in the Barossa.
Great bakery there.
Beautiful stuff in Nuri, but it's actually not that far from the city. Kadena, properly country. Transport was a massive thing that they talked about. Big issue. Even when you get to Murray Bridge, transport becomes an issue for people. Look, I hope that they have listened to regional issues as well as metro issues, and that they put those in a way that they put some practical solutions and actions in. I've got my fingers crossed.
I'm talking to David Miltz, CEO of Carers SA. Now, David, your board has always had lived experience people either on the board or you listen to their feedback. What do you think they would want to see from this National Carer Strategy? What would be perhaps one or two key things?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that they would want and our board members would want to see is a navigation support for carers. It is very close to the number one thing carers tell us is, and when they come to us, is, how do I access, I don't know I'm a carer, or this has happened to me really suddenly, how do I access aged care? How do I access the health system? How do I navigate those places? They're really complex. So if we got navigation support into the Carer Gateway or a system of that support somewhere, that would be brilliant. I think the other one is, or the other two, recognition for carers. It's really simple, but we know that recognition is one of the levers that increases carer wellbeing. So if you're recognised by your friends, your family and the community and government decision makers as a carer and recognised for what you do, that does make a difference. So we'd love to see that.
Is a problem with that, David, is that it's a hidden value. Many don't come out and they don't share it and they don't talk about it.
Absolutely. So along with awareness, then is the grassroots marketing campaign or community engagement probably around what services are available. So they go hand in hand. The awareness raising of this is what a carer is. And by the way, you can access these services if you ever need them. They're the two things. We found that grassroots community engagement, old school stuff about going out and speaking to people, has the biggest impact for us of driving demand into the Carer Gateway, which means that it's the thing that people understand. They understand, I'm a carer, okay, because you've told me this is what carers do, and they sort of, you can see the light bulb flicker, and then you go, okay, here's also the services you can access. you do that at the same time, and then you start to get some improvement for people.
And of course, David, one of the biggest issues we found with community centre people participating is digital literacy. They go and say, I don't know how to get on MyGov. They actually don't know how to access these services because of that digital literacy issue.
Yeah, look, we've run a number of things over the years. We find digital literacy is an issue, but then it's the other big thing is access. So you can go 10 minutes out of Mount Gambier and hit a black spot and not being able to get the internet. And then you've got to then be able to afford the hardware to use the internet as well. So it was some time ago, there was a study done about the number of carers who had smartphones, but how many people actually used it, the smart application or accessing the internet was very few. So those three things, digital literacy, access to hardware, and then also access to the internet, three things are a bit of a troublesome three when you start talking to carers, especially in regional areas.
And David, that's what National Carers Week is all about, is to raise that awareness, 13th to 19th of October. Tell us what you've got planned and what you'd like to see from that.
We had a carer expo 2 weeks ago, which was wonderful, out at Ranelagh East College. About 500 people came through. Carers came through, had 70 providers there. It was a wonderful opportunity to engage people face-to-face about what services are available. And we're able to get the Minister for Social Services, Amanda Rishworth, through that as well and demonstrate to her about the importance of what we're doing. But during National Carers Week, we have a whole range of activities, including, I think I'm going to Port Nolunga, Murray Bridge, activities where we put on, I think, Port Nolunga Bowling Club, Murray Bridge, to go and have lunch with a group of carers, but really just to say thank you for what they do. We've also got an industry brunch where Jean Kitson, wonderful comedian, is coming to speak as a guest speaker, and she talks about her parents and has written a book about caring. Wonderful to have someone of profile who can talk about it. So there's some activities where Parliament House is lighting up and we've got some flags down King William Street in Adelaide. So it's about raising awareness. But the outcomes from that really are we're just looking for people to understand more about who carers are and what they do. It's quite simple. There's no call to action apart from that. We're not raising money. We're not trying to do any of those things. We're just trying to recognise carers and tell those people who don't have much of an understanding about who carers are. We're trying to educate them.
And of course, organisations like Carers SA exist for them to be able to get help from.
Yes, yeah. That's the hardest part, is that you understand you're a carer, then it's about what can you access. So it's about pushing that out and making sure people understand it.
And David, people may be shocked to know there's 3 million Australians provide care. So from the government's perspective, if you took that 3 million away, who would they go to? How would these people be able to survive?
So that's why we say carers are the safety net for community. In 2019, Deloitte Access Economics did a study for us to how much would it cost to replace carers for what they do for a year. And it's just basic wage. It wasn't particularly high in the calculations. $77.9 billion a year to replace what they do.
That's just so outrageous. Can't even think about that, can you?
It's mind-boggling. And when you think about the carer gateway, and hopefully people will have a read of the InDaily and read an op-ed that I've done, but we did just a little back of the envelope calculation. There's about $100 million is invested across the country in the carer gateway. Significant amount of money, but it's 0.012% of the $80 billion that carers put in. So they're getting back, carers are getting back in support 0.012%. of what the time and effort they contribute. So it puts it into perspective about what carers do across the country.
And David, of course, one of the issues for carers now would be cost of living. Even if they're wanting their own breaks, it costs them money, and to take their person caring for out of the house for low cost because they may have high medical needs. And that's something where I'd like to see community centres listening out there. Please make yourself known to Carers SA, as the peak body Community Centres SA will do more with you and look at how we can bring that information. But for your carers to know, your community centre may be able to provide free or very low cost activities to be able to go to, which could help both people.
Absolutely. So we know, we've just done some data. We just did a national carer survey in 2024. And in South Australia, we had nearly 2,800 people respond to that. 10,000 across the country, which is a great result for us. But what it showed in SA, that nearly 60% of carers who answered that survey in South Australia said that they were financially stressed. So it's representative of what happens across the country. But often for carers, their caring role may well force a reduction in the amount they can work, or it may mean that they have to stop working. And that's a massive, massive impact. The average time of caring in SA, or the people who completed our survey, is 11 years. And so that's about $174,000 in super over that lifetime. And there's
Compound impact.
Absolutely. And there's about $400,000 worth of lost income over that time. So the impact of caring is not only emotionally, physically, and it can be socially isolating, but there's also a financial impact on work. And that's really significant. So it sort of hits a heap of different areas for carers.
Well, David, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This is such vital, valuable information, and I'd encourage all community centres to connect, but we will be working through ways to make sure we can bridge that between our organisations.
Beautiful, Kerry. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.